The last thing that we talked to you about here the other night was of great importance. I don't know what they named that tape. The supper. Okay. It is important that we tell the people the truth. We've tried so hard, you know, to tell the people the truth. I believe in the truth. I prayed to God, and I asked God to help me to always tell the people the truth. When the Lord called me to the ministry, I remind you again that I pleaded with God, and I said, Lord, help me, because I don't know what I would do if I knew that I had told somebody a lie and that that person was going to die and go to hell. If I found out about it, it would just tear me to pieces. And years ago, I prayed and I cried before God. And I said, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. And I don't want to cause anybody to go to hell. I said, and I don't know what truth is, and I don't know what to tell them. And I said, I just don't understand it all. And yet, I know that you've called me into the ministry because you struck me down and turned me around when I was going in another direction, and whereas I intended to continue in the other direction. And I said, and then when you picked me back up, restored me, you did it after I promised you that I'd do what you'd called me to do, and I wouldn't run from you no more. Now, so then when the Lord did it for me, I began to pray and seek God. And I have spent my life thus far in continual study, searching, and seeking. The Bible said, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. And we've tried sincerely to do that very thing. Here in the book of Jeremiah, in the 28th chapter, it tells us something here. We read this to you a few nights back and kind of spoke on it a little bit or elaborated on it a little. The 8th verse of the 28th chapter, it says, the prophets that have been before me and before of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Now I want you to hear that again now. Many times in our life we've spoke to you, and many times in some of the people's lives that we've spoken to, they were very doubtful, very skeptical, very critical, not being wise. But we just always use the terms like this. When I spoke to anybody in the name of the Lord, I'd say, just wait, see. If it comes to pass, you'll know that God has spoken to you. And if so be that God speaks to you, then you need to fear and be afraid. But if it don't come to pass, you don't have anything to worry about. And year after year, the Lord has brought the things to pass that we said. Whereas the Bible says, concerning the ministry, whether it be me, you, any other minister that is called of God, the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. But the God that we serve, he tells us. He says of the ministry that if that man says the thing and it comes to pass, I remind you again, it doesn't just say fear God. A lot of people say, well, we fear God and man is nothing, and we don't worry about man, but it didn't say that. It says he is the minister of God. He beareth not the sword in vain. You be afraid, because he set there to execute judgment upon you if you do evil. I've got people in here tonight that have no fear of the ministry. That's why they're haughty. That's why they're rebellious. They measure themselves by their own thinking, and they don't properly evaluate, because they don't evaluate according to the Word of God. They evaluate according to their own reasoning and their feelings. Therefore, they have no fear of the ministry, and they're always getting into trouble. They're always getting into problems. They're always into things, as we say, up to their neck. Sicknesses, diseases, heartaches, problems, because they won't listen. They won't listen. They don't have any fear of God. Somebody would say, well, I fear God. Let me tell you something, beloved friend. The fear of God is not just fearing God. That's not the fear of God. The fear to be afraid of God, that's one of your worst errors. To be afraid of God, that's the last thing that God wants you to do. The fear of God is to turn away from evil. The fear of God is to believe His word, not to transgress His way, not to transgress His life. You know, the devil would just love for me to be afraid of God. He'd just love for me to do that. As a matter of fact, many people fall into a snare because of one thing. They are so afraid of God. Now, let me explain something just a minute. You're so afraid that you're going to sin against God. While the devil couldn't want anything any better. That is just wonderful to him. As long as he can keep you afraid that you're going to sin against God, then he knows that you are weak in that area. You don't have any faith to protect you. Because the very fact that you think like that and that you're afraid that you're going to sin against God proves that you are weak towards Satan for him to cause you to sin against God. God doesn't want you to be afraid that you're going to sin against God. God wants you to be afraid to sin against God. Don't be afraid that you're going to sin against God. That makes you weak. That makes the devil come in and take hold of you and say, well, you can't help it. You know you can't help it. Here you go. But be afraid to sin against God. The beginning of wisdom is to fear God, not to be afraid of God, but to fear God in this way that when God says something, you reverence it. When God's minister says something, you reverence both the word and the ministry. First of all, you reverence the word for this reason. The Bible said it is not him that's speaking, but it is the heavenly Father speaking from within His temple. Let all of the world keep silent because God is speaking. Now, on the other hand, to reverence the minister, because the Bible said, Paul termed it like this, it is not I that liveth, but it is Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. And the writer said, I am bone of His bone, and I am flesh of His flesh. So then it is the body of Jesus. Not only that, but you should reverence one another. The Bible said, esteeming one another better than yourselves, looking on the things of another, submitting yourselves one to another, because that is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would submit yourself to a Christian brother or sister as the body of the Lord Jesus, not knowing them after the flesh, but after the Spirit, not knowing them as a man or a woman that was born into sin, but knowing them as the very bone and flesh of the body of Almighty God. Now, if you would submit yourself unto your brother and sister with their measure of spirit, how much more ought you to submit yourself to the minister who has a greater measure of God's Spirit and who is precisely set there for the purpose of having the oversight over you, having the commandment of God in His favor to this extent, telling you to submit yourself unto the ministry, in that they watch for your soul, and they must give an account to God of such deeds and doings. A lot of times, you know, I say this over and over, we get the idea that the minister is going to take God's glory. And we say that if we praise the minister, we're out of order. But the Bible said, in a good thing I praise you. Because you praise a man, you haven't taken God's glory away from him. And somebody would say, well, I'm afraid that the minister will get God's glory if we esteem him too highly. But the Bible said, esteem them very highly for their work's sake. Now, we say, well, if we praise him too much, he'll get God's glory. But I say again to you, we don't have to get God's glory. We've already got God's glory. I don't have to get God's glory. I've already got God's glory. See, that's just like this. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I love to hear that preacher preach when he's under the anointing. I want to remind you again that he doesn't have to get under the anointing. God's minister does not have to get under the anointing to preach. God's minister is God's anointed. He's always God's anointed. He's God's anointed when he's asleep. He's God's anointed when he's awake. He's God's anointed when he meets you down at the grocery store or the filling station. He's God's anointed if he meets you in the church. He's God's anointed wherever he meets you. He's God's anointed and he's God's man. He's always God's anointed. All he has to do is stir up his pure mind. David said, I stir up my pure mind, which is the mind of Christ. He just start talking about God a little bit and stir up his pure mind. That's all he has to do. He's God's anointed. He is anointed for that purpose. He doesn't have to get anointed every time he gets up there for that purpose. He's God's once and for all anointed preacher. God's once and for all anointed man all the time. Therefore, you should respect him. The sheriff is not an authority just because he comes over to your house. He's not an authority just because he does a certain thing and he puts on his uniform. He is the sheriff of the county, whether he's got on his uniform or whether he hasn't got on his uniform. He's got just as much authority whether he's got on his badge or got his badge off. He's the sheriff. Now, if a preacher don't act like a preacher, the way you think that a preacher should act, and jump and holler and scream, turn cartwheels, that doesn't mean he's not God's preacher, nor that he's not God's anointed. And if he does scream and holler and run and turn cartwheels, if God told him to turn cartwheels, he's still God's anointed. Did you know that Saul was God's anointed? Though he had murder in his heart, did you know he was still God's anointed? Do you know that he went up to Ramah Gilead to kill David? Had murder in his heart and got up there, and when the Spirit of God came upon him, that he prophesied so much they thought he was a prophet? And did you know that David had so much respect for God's anointed that he killed the man that killed Saul? Though Saul was his enemy. That's the way we ought to fear God's anointing. David said to the man that killed Saul, said, wasn't you afraid to do that? To touch God's anointed? The Bible said, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. See, the problem of the church world today is the lack of reverence from the people to God's anointed. You know what's caused that? The Bible said in the last days they'll be despisers of government. You know what's caused that? Is the government has become rotten. The leaders have become rotten. And it's caused the people to have a bitter taste in their mouth toward the leaders. The Bible teaches that the parents have eaten sour grapes. And therefore the children's teeth are on edges. That's where your hippies come from. It's not the children that have done that. It's mama and daddy, those that are parents and leaders. They have had such a hunger and thirst and lust for ball games and worldliness and the things of this world till they've sidestepped God's word and they've compromised and they've put all kind of things in the churches and they've gotten away from the true walk of holiness. And now the children's teeth are on edges and the children are doing all kind of things because the parents eat the sour grapes. God said, I went to my vineyard to get grapes and it brought forth sour grapes. That is to say, the parents planted the grapevine. They're the cause of it. You understand what I'm saying? There is not enough respect and reverence for government in our day. There's not enough respect and reverence for God's ministry or God's government in our day. And the reason, principally speaking, is because the parents have eaten the sour grapes and put the children's teeth on edges. So then when we consider the thing and the way that God is talking to us, the minister is a great, mighty, powerful thing in the earth. Though he himself doesn't look at himself that way, because if he looks at himself as a great, mighty, outstanding thing, then he's not a minister. He must look at God as a great, outstanding, mighty thing. But, beloved friend, while he looks at God as a great and a mighty, outstanding thing, you better look at the minister as a great and a mighty, outstanding thing. Because he is God's ministry. He is God's prophet. And the Bible said if a prophet prophesied something and it come to pass, it said, fear that prophet. It didn't say fear God, it said fear that prophet. You know why God tells you to fear that prophet? Because that prophet has the power to say what he will. And the Bible said if thou canst believe in thine heart and say it, whatever you believe and say in your heart, and don't doubt, it'll come to pass. That's why that Ananias and Sapphira lost their life. They were unbelievers too. They wasn't afraid of the ministry. They didn't care anything about that. But when the prophet of God or the apostle of God in that day stood and said, Ananias, you've not lied to man. You took me as a man. And you looked at me as a man. And you communicated with me as a man. But he said, you didn't lie to me. You lied to God. You lied to the Holy Ghost. I speak in the name of the Lord. And I come to you in the name of the Lord. You should have had more reverence. You should have had more respect. You shouldn't have done the things that you've done. People gossip, backbite. They twist things. They take the minister's words and they put things to it and they take away from it just like they do God's word. That's why there's problems in the world today. Don't add anything to this book, we're told in Revelation. Don't take anything away from it. For if you add to it the plagues of this book of cancer, TB, paralysis, consumption, everything it mentions, these plagues shall be added unto you. And if you take away from this book, your part will be taken out of the book of life. But nevertheless, daily through the conversation of mankind, they give their opinion and they say what they think about religion and what they think about God's people. And daily they add to it and daily they take away from it instead of learning God's word, instead of fearing God and listening to the minister. They pass their opinion and they have cancer. They have heart trouble. They have problems with their back and problems with their eyes and problems with their head and problems with their finance and problems with their children. And they have problems and problems and problems. Well, let me tell you something, folks. We're going to come back to the same thing that they had in the early church. God is going to raise up some ministers that's going to be clean every whit hold. He's going to raise up a true ministry. He said, I'll raise up shepherds after my own heart who won't feed themselves and be interested in feeding their own personal being and won't be interested in personal gain. But they'll be a man after my own heart. They'll think as I think and they'll be concerned about my cause in the earth, and they'll be concerned about my people, and they'll do the things that I want done. They'll have my heart within them. A man like David, and with the heart of God within them, they're going to be the kind of people that you're going to have respect for. They're not going around soliciting respect. They're not going around soliciting your praise. As the world said, they could care less. In other words, it's the way they feel, they don't care about your praise. They wouldn't give you 15 cents for your praise. They've outgrown that. They've gone beyond that. They've seen a heavenly reward, and they've seen the heavenly world and the heavenly blessings. And all of this other is just a bunch of child play to them. They're not interested in that. They've gone beyond that. So they couldn't care less, as we say. Now, but just because they feel that way, that doesn't mean you can feel that way. God says you're to reverence them and you're to respect them and you're to esteem them very highly. Now, I want to remind you again, though we may think that we're making too much fuss over them, I want you to think on this again. We've said it a number of times. When the angel of God came to Gideon and Gideon was there by himself, the enemy having closed in on him, Gideon didn't know what to do, and Gideon felt so unworthy and so little. That angel of God, knowing that he was a son of God, stood there with great reverence and said, "Oh, thou mighty man of valor." Because the angel did not see him as a man. He did not know him after the flesh. He knew him as God saw him. And he knew that Gideon was ordained of God to shake the nation in his day and to take the preeminence and to free Israel. And he wasn't looking at his shortcoming in his failures. See, God and the angels that come down to minister to you, they don't see you as that little old frail nobody. When you say, "Woe is me, and who is little old me?" God sees you as his son. God sees you as that mighty one that shall rule with the rod of iron and break the nations to pieces like pottery. God sees you as that great, wonderful membership of the body of the Son of God, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That great organized brotherhood that God himself is going to work through to set up a kingdom in the earth that shall never be overthrown. In the time when Aaron, Miriam spoke against Moses, Miriam was a great woman. She could prophesy. She could play the timbrel. But she thought too highly of herself. Aaron was a great man. He was made the high priest, but he thought too highly of himself. He spoke against Moses, and Miriam spoke against Moses. And they took the attitude, "Moses is taking too much on himself to lead the people, to rule over the people." But see, they didn't understand that that was an ordination of God. Joseph's brethren mocked him. And they made light of him, and they talked about him to his face and to his back. Made a joke out of him. But they didn't know that he was God's man for that hour. He was just a brother, that's all. But when the time come, Joseph was raised to the throne. Had it not been for Joseph, those people would have literally starved to death. Because Joseph was the one that had the food. God set him forth. Find a man that's a rejected stone. Find a man that's criticized. Find a man that's thrown out. When he's really, truly living for God. When he's doing his very best. And you'll find God's man when you find that man. I know a lot of people's name is cast out as evil. I realize that. And they well deserve it. Because they're suffering for their own wrongs. But I'm talking about a person that's rejected when they're doing all they know to do. That means something is going on, or God wouldn't let the people reject him. It's that same Jesus coming to earth again. It's that same Christ that was rejected of mankind, living again the life of Joseph. In the life of Moses, it was the same way. When Moses went down there, they said, "You can't rule over us, Moses." They said, "Joseph, you can't rule over us." But the Bible said the same Joseph that they said they would not have to rule over him, God made him a governor, and God made him a ruler, and made him the governor of Egypt. And the Bible said that same Joseph, whose feet that they bruised with fetters and iron, that God raised him up to bind his senators whenever he got ready, to do whatever he wanted to when he would. So then with Moses, they said, "Moses, you've taken too much on yourself." But God came into the picture. And God came over and he said, "I want to see Miriam. And I want to see Aaron. I want to have a talk with him." And he said, "Miriam, Aaron, wasn't you afraid to speak against my man Moses? Didn't you know better than to do that?" Somebody would say, "Aha, Brother Pike, but that was Moses." Just think about this day. I am thinking about this day. I'm thinking that a greater than Solomon's here and a greater than Moses is here. I'm thinking that the bone and flesh of the Lord God Almighty is here. And that the Holy Ghost is here and the Son of God is speaking. Said, "Wasn't you afraid to speak against my man Moses?" Brother, let me tell you, if God would come down from heaven and challenge those people because they spoke against Moses, and the Bible states that John the Baptist, when it speaks of him, that there was none greater in the kingdom, not even Moses, not a greater born among men, that is, not in the kingdom, but born among men, not a greater, even Abraham, even Moses. And yet he said, "He that is in the kingdom, he that is a member of my own body, is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, is greater because he is the body of Almighty God. He is that which is born to spirit." But all of them back under the law could not be made perfect without us. And if he used that term, that they that were under the law was of such, how great is the Son of God today. And if a man be a son of God and he be great, how great is a leader of the ministry, a fivefold leader that God has elevated above the sons of God in the sense of leadership, him being a son likewise, but God placing within him an authority. Now you say, "What do you mean, Brother Pike?" The Bible said, "Because thou hast loved righteousness, I have exalted thee above thy brethren." Now, to love righteousness is to be exalted. Did you know that? Even above another brother. Brother Pike, you don't think God would do that? He very definitely will. "Because thou hast loved righteousness, God has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." That means that if you search after God more than another brother searches after God, God's going to elevate you. And the more that you can manifest God in your life to heal and save or to convert, in that I will bring saviors up upon the mount. I've made you saviors. Whosoever converted the man, he saved his soul from hell. When you come to the place to where you love righteousness with all of your heart, and follow after righteousness with all of your heart, God will manifest himself the more through you. And the more that God sees Christ in your life, the greater you're going to be in having the preeminence and leadership over your brethren. God having dealt unto every man the measure of faith. So then, God said, "Miriam, Aaron, this thing is of me. I'm the one that called Moses before Moses was ever born in the world," as we say. Said, "Wasn't you afraid?" That's what's wrong with the world today. They're not afraid. 85,000 people turns out for a ball game to go watch the Dogs. I say again, as Dad used to say, they've all gone to the Dogs. But Jesus called them dogs. He said the dog will go back to his vomit. And what is vomit in the sight of God? He said, because you're lukewarm, religious, won't live for God, you just vomit. Said, all of my tables are full of vomit. I spew you out of my mouth. They're going to the things that God won't have and the things that God rejects. And they're esteeming worldliness and the things of the world and people of the world. They're knowing them after the flesh as great artists and great stars, great singers, great celebrities, when Jesus forbid that they know a man after those things or after the flesh. He said, know a man according to what he's doing for God, after the Spirit, as to whether he's living holy and talking holy and doing something for God. That's the way to know a man. For all of us, there's nothing but vomit. I spew it out of my mouth. He called them swines. Said they'll go back to the football games and wallowing in the mud. They'll go back to the wallowing in the mire and the sports of this world, the thing that God detests and hates. Churches have made God sick at his stomach to the sense that he's vomited up the churches because they've instigated pool halls and ball games and programs and everything else. And the zeal of their house has eaten God up to where the word has no place there anymore. Now, when we think about these things, God said, my man Moses, you know why I love him, Miriam? You're not like him. God didn't say that to Miriam just like that. But that's what he was saying. He said, Aaron, you're not like him. Somebody would say, but Aaron was the high priest. I know he was. Miriam was the woman that prophesied and the one that was admired among them. But God, in so many words, said, you're not like Moses. What is the difference between me and Moses? Miriam and Aaron would say. He said, my man Moses is the meekest man in all the land. My man Moses is faithful in all of his house. Everything that he does. Like Samuel of old, the Bible said God never let one word of his fall to the ground. Samuel was straight. Samuel was clean. Samuel was godly. Samuel was holy. And God watched every word that he spoke, and he brought it to pass. He brought it to pass. Brother, when you walk holy and you do godly and you please God, woe be unto the person that speaks against you. Woe be unto the person that puts their finger upon you. You just walk godly and you walk holy. God said, your ways please me. I'll make your enemies to leave you alone. I'll make them to be at peace with you, and I'll put the fear of you upon all of the land. And they'll be afraid of you because you're called by my name. And he said, when you go into Canaan, my people, this will be your power of preservation and protection. They'll be afraid of you because of your wisdom, your great understanding. They could not withstand the wisdom by which Stephen spake when his face shined as an angel. Now, when John came along and somebody kind of minimized John in their thinking, they thought maybe people was thinking a little too high of John. You know, John preached. And here come the whole city out to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders of that day and the people, they were upset with John. They come against John. They said things against him. You don't belong to Bethlehem. You're not a Bethlehemite. Oh, you're not a Christian. Are you not one of them? You know, and they criticized John. And they found fault with John. But one day Jesus had a little talk with him. Now he said, let me tell you something, folks. He said, you're talking about a prophet. He said, you've been talking about a prophet, and you've been calling my man John a prophet. He said, let me have a talk with you. If you think that's esteeming him too highly, said, I want you to know he's more than a prophet. He's more than a prophet. He said, he's that man that I said would come before me. He's the one that I said would straighten things out. John is the man. And said, I'd have you to know that when you think about the prophets and all the rest, there's none among men greater than John. Isn't that something? And he went on to say, as I put it in my words, just in the event that you should think that the sons of God are being praised too much, I want you to know, though John's not a whit behind the greatest, these that's coming is even far greater than John. So he praised them even the more. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, don't you know that you'll give them God's glory and God will be upset with you? For the Bible said, my glory I'll not give to another, and I say this so often. Brother, we're not another. We're not another. We're bone of his bone and we're flesh of his flesh. And Jesus said, Father, glorify these with the same glory that you glorified me with. Father, make these one even as we are one. And then he went on to another place, if you recall, and he said, and you have the glory of God. He gave it to us, so don't be worried about it. He's already given it to us. Don't be worried about us taking it or somebody giving it to us. We already have it. He's already given it to us. That's why Moses appeared with him in his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. That's why Elijah appeared with him in his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the Bible said they appeared in glory. The same glory. The same glory. Isn't that right? The Bible says so. Now, so then when we see this wonderful thing, we realize what the Bible says when it speaks of a prophet. Let him say what he will. Here he tells us in Jeremiah. Then listen. And if the thing come to pass, he said, then you'd better have respect to him. Jeremiah goes on to say right here concerning another prophet. Speaks of Hananiah. He goes on to speak of another prophet and he says this. You said that God saith. But I say that God said thus and thus. But you say that God saith, and you are contrary to what I've said. Now then, he said, we'll see who's speaking God's word. We'll take it to Mount Carmel, as Elijah said. We'll have a showdown and we'll leave it up to God and let him judge between you and me. And the prophet said to him, the true prophet, said, you prophesied a lie. I told you what would happen, and I told Israel what would happen. But said to the other prophet, you prophesied a lie. You said, thus and thus, saith the Lord. And the prophet said to him, because you said thus and thus, said, you're going to die. And told him when he was going to die. Said, in essence, that'll teach you that God speaks the truth and that when you lie, that the Holy Spirit is not within you. It's a serious thing to speak a lie. The Bible said that they have taken the word of God and they've turned it into a lie. You know how you turn the word of God, the Bible said, change it into a lie. You know how they turn it into a lie, change it into a lie? They add to it. They make it say what they want it to say, and they make it fit their warped up concept, and they make it to justify their evil doings so that they can add worldliness and ungodliness and filth and everything else. And so they change the word of God into a lie to the people that are looking for the truth. They see a perverted form of God's word, and that person standing at the door won't go in, and everybody else coming, they hinder. Because they see them as the Word. And that the Bible tells us that we are an epistle that's known and read of all men. having wrote His word upon the table of our hearts, the love of God constrains us that we should walk therein. So then He tells us in the word, He said, and they changed the word of God into a lie to make it say what they wanted it to say. And the people don't have a light. When you speak in the name of the Lord, folks, don't add, don't take away. When you prophesy, prophesy according to your measure of faith. That is, if you're inspired to hit the floor, and when you hit the floor to speak and the inspiration leaves, you just shut up and sit back down, or either stand there until you get the inspiration of God to speak. For if you speak by inspiration, it's God. That is God. That is God Himself speaking. Prophesy according to your measure of faith. If you have enough faith, enough conviction, that you can believe that God is speaking through you and that's a true thing and you're not trying to show off and get somebody's attention, but down in your heart you truthfully believe that God has told you to hit the floor and you truthfully believe that God is fixing to bring forth utterance and you truthfully hold on to that by faith, brother, that's God speaking. But if you get up and you start speaking and that faith leaves you and you feel like, well, I need to say some more because I didn't get my point over, you better sit down. Because your measure's done give out. When your faith stopped, your measure stopped. And if you go on talking, you're going to prophesy presumptuously. And the Bible said the prophet that prophesies presumptuously, of that in the name of the Lord he shall die. So then you need to speak soberly and sanely in the name of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, giving praise and honor and glory unto God. And you need to reverence and respect the minister of God and realize that he is there for your benefit. And that if he's a true man of God, he wouldn't hurt you for nothing. But if he's a true man of God, you can be sure of one thing. He'll come straight to your face and look you right in the eyeballs and say, thus saith the Lord. If you lay a switchblade to his throat, he'll still say, thus saith the Lord, this is what God said, and this is the way it's going to be. If he doesn't do it, he's not a man of God. A man of God will do it. He can't do anything else. Like a man I told not too long ago, I said, you're not right with God. God tells me that you're not right with God. You're not right with God. You don't tell me nothing. I said, I'm telling you, you are not right with God. And brother, if God sends you, you'll tell him. You can be sure that you'll tell him. I want you to stand with me. I want you to ponder over these few things tonight. I felt like exhorting you just a little bit tonight. Remember, you must speak the truth. He that God sendeth will speak God's word. Don't you ever be critical. Don't you ever backbite. Don't you ever find fault. Don't you ever tear down. Don't you ever take the man of God into your mind, into your thoughts, into your heart, into your home at any time, unless it's with great reverence and respect. Because the Bible said a little bird will carry the matter. God's got a little bird that will carry the matter and see that it's spread abroad. And the Bible said the man that follows God will know what you're saying in your secret chambers. Even if you close the door and get away, the man of God will know it. God will reveal it to him. He'll know it. Let's love the Lord. And remember this, there's nothing done in secret that won't come to the light. What you've heard in the ear, shout it from the housetop. For brother, sister, no matter what you thought in your heart secretly, no matter what you said, every bit of it's going to come out. And whatever you are by nature, according to the planting, so will the harvest be. Whatever foreknowledge seed was sown by God, whether it be as unto a tare or as unto wheat, whatever God's thoughts were, that's what you are. But remember one thing, you are what you are. Because God, by foreknowledge, saw that you would take the route of Esau. Or he, by foreknowledge, saw that you would take the route of Jacob. long before you was born into the world. That's why it said concerning Judas by prophecy, before he was born, let another his bishopric take. That's why it said concerning Esau and Jacob, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. God foresaw what they would do. You are a sovereignty tonight. I'm here to tell you God's word. You can believe or disbelieve. Believe or disbelieve. But whatever you do, God foresaw it. If you believe for 5 minutes and become an unbeliever, God foresaw it. If you believe for 5 years and then change to unbelief, God foresaw you believing the 5 years. God foresaw you when you quit believing. If you, in your sovereignty, love Jesus, or tonight you will say, I love the Lord, I will serve the Lord, God foresaw it. And He ordained you according to your own sovereignty. For ye are God's elect by foreknowledge. He elected you unto grace by what He foreknew. The Bible said, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? For it is God that justifieth. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Not anything, because He predestinated you. Them that He foreknew, He also did predestinate to conform to the image of His Son. Them that He predestinated, He also justified. And them that He justified, He sanctified them. And them that He sanctified, the Bible said He also glorified. So then you are a finished product and complete in the Son of God. Remember this one thing, when you live wrong and you don't live for God, don't forget you're still the predestinated of God. You can drink and curse and smoke, cheat and swindle and lie, but you're still the predestinated of God. The only difference is you're predestinated to hell instead of heaven. Somebody would say, well, if I'm predestinated to God, it doesn't matter what I do. If you are predestinated in Jesus Christ unto good works, there's only one thing you can do, and that's good works. So then your predestination unto God or unto heaven is in Jesus. For God has chosen us in Christ, and we are complete in Him. And He has predestinated us in Him. That is, as long as we abide in Him, as long as we walk in Him, as long as we are in Him, and as long as our nature is in Him, then that proves that we are the predestinated of God unto salvation and eternal life. When we don't walk in Christ and we don't honor Christ and we don't honor God's word and we don't do God's way, then as Paul said, your blood be upon your own head. When you reject God, then you're predestinated unto hell. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Hold fast. Let no man take your crown. That is, if God predestinated you, you'll endure to the end. If God foresaw you enduring unto the end, then you are the predestinated. But the writer said, do these things. Prove your predestination. Prove your predestination. You've called for the flight and you've bought the ticket by phone. You've made a connection, but confirm your flight just to be safe. Prove. The Bible said, prove your calling and election. And it said to have love and peace and joy and meekness and long-suffering, brotherly kindness, and all these wonderful things. Said, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. See if you got this kind of nature. See if you suffer long. See if you're kind. See if you're full of charity. See if you vaunt not yourself. See if you're not puffed up. See if you think no evil. See if you can esteem others better than yourself. See if you got this lowly nature of Jesus Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. Moses, the meekest man in all the land, the prophet like unto. See if this is you. See if this nature is in you that was in Jesus. If so be that you've got that nature, you've got the divine nature, and you pass from death unto life. And the Bible said, if you can do these things, then you're the predestinated of God. Said, because if you can do these things, ye shall never fall. If you've got the nature of Jesus Christ, there is no such thing as fallen. He that is born of God cannot sin. He will never sin. He cannot sin. He is without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. He cannot sin because he is born of God. He is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He is the Son of God. He cannot sin because God's seed, God's word of faith and promise of purification by the faith of Jesus Christ. Thus God purifies our heart with faith. He cannot sin because he is born of God. All right. We who are the predestinated of God that love Jesus, then we maintain good works because it is Jesus in the earth. In the sight of the Heavenly Father, it is his membership. And one day that divine head, the Son of God, is going to break the heavens and come back to this wonderful, sinless body without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And he's going to draw the wonderful members to him as he appears in the heavens. The wonderful, lovely Son of God. And all of these people that are practicing the things of the world, whereas the Bible said, if the love of the world's in you, the love of righteousness and holiness and godliness, or the love of God is not there. So then he's going to draw you to him. You'll be drawn to him. He'll stand up here, and all of a sudden, what you call the rapture will take place as he draws his members to, as the head draws his members to him. No man can come unto the Lord except the Spirit draw him. You're baptized into the body, into the church, as a member of that body by the Holy Spirit. You're baptized into the church, into the body. That is, you become a member by the Holy Spirit. If the life of God's in you, then you're his body. All right, let's just sing a little chorus together. I want to praise you in a good thing. I thank the Lord for you, your faithfulness to come to church, your faithfulness to listen, your faithfulness to consider the things that Brother Pike says. Now I want you to diligently search the Scriptures, to always see that we're in the Scriptures, and follow me, Paul said, as I follow the Scriptures, as I follow Christ. I'd like to say I appreciate Brother Cobbs and Brother Ondo, some of the others, I don't know, just two. But they're working on a job this week that they're just wanting to do and give to the church. We have brethren that do that every once in a while, and I so appreciate it from the very depths of my soul, because you helped to make my cross lighter, and you hold up my hand as it was in the days of Moses. And if I truly be a minister, if I truly be a man of God, then let me so live and act as an example and not a lord over God's heritage. And if I truly be, then in the day of judgment I truly will present you as a flock. Not only here, but Jesus said we have sheep that's not of this pasture. Them God also shall bring. But many people around the nation in different parts of the world that we have a part in their life, we will present the sheep to the shepherd. And we'll be glad to present you, glad to be your shepherd, and glad to speak in your behalf if that's the way it must be. And the Bible teaches that's the way it must be. Every shepherd is going to have to present his sheep to the chief shepherd. And then when the chief shepherd appears, he'll give us a crown that fadeth not away. It is required of a steward to be faithful. So let's be faithful and love Jesus. You suffer, you have problems. But Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that the sufferings in this physical being, problems are not even to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed from within you. That you have on the inside that shall outshine the noonday sun at Thessalonians chains. So then, don't worry. Just persevere, believe, praise God. God will help you. He'll deliver you out of all of your afflictions, all of your sickness. He'll make you rich and add no sorrow. Make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. Make your enemies be at peace with you. So then, I'll be glad as a shepherd to present all that he hath given to me. Jesus said, Father, all that you've given to me, I'll raise them up in the last day. I've not lost a one of them except the son of perdition, which was foreordained to go that way. The Bible, Paul speaking, the Bible says, your blood be upon your own head when they rejected Paul. He said, I'll go to the Gentiles. But the Bible says, as many as were ordained unto eternal life, they believed. They believed Paul. So tonight as I speak, as many of you as be ordained unto eternal life, you'll believe and you'll follow. The son of perdition will never follow, because when the sons of God come to present themselves before God, even in the house of God, Satan comes also to present himself. That is, he lives in the sons of Satan and what Paul called the false brethren. Though religious as Cain, yet no favor with God is Abel. Let's just sing this chorus, can we? We'll be dismissed. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Can you sing it with me now? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar tonight. Whereas if you would like to come to the altar, if there's someone here that would like to come, we'd be delighted for you to come to the altar. Pray with you and ask God to help you. But I know some of you are tired tonight, and I know that you respond beautifully when I speak to you, and sometimes I do because I feel that you should. But let's pray. Let's just pray together. Let's just slip our hands up and let's pray together, because the altars of God is in your heart. Altars that God has given. And tonight, let's just reverence the great, lovely Holy Spirit in the name of His beloved Son, Jesus. And let's ask God tonight to cleanse us and purge us and purify us. I'm going to ask Brother Vince to come and pray with us. While we're praying together, I want you to just, the Bible said, examine yourselves. See if your conviction is in the Word. Or that is, it says, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Which faith is by the hearing of the Word? See if your conviction is what somebody taught you, what somebody told you. See if you really, truthfully know that that's the way it is and that's the way it's said, that you've read it in God's Word. See if your conviction is in something that you believe that God has spoken unto you, or something you say that, well, I know God told me this. Because if God told you, it will be His Word, or it will be in agreement with His Word. See if it's really God's Word.